Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
What's going on, No Bad Dog Army? This is a excellent podcast with a colleague and friend of mine, and he's a dog trainer who kind of just broke off from a chain of dog training and is trying to do things on his own. And so it's really about dog trainers being able to break through and how I started my career and how I was able to kind of get through the noise and create a brand and create a business and literally a step-by-step, hey, if you want more clients, here's what I would do in 2025, 2026 to obtain those clients to, you know, pay your bills and make a little money doing what you love. And I think that this episode is going to be really helpful, especially for those who are in business, and just kind of understanding the roadmap on getting more clients, especially if you feel like you can't, or you're stuck, or you're stagnant. So we take a look at his social media. We take a look at an actual actionable game plan to move forward today to start getting some more inquiries and calls in. So hope you guys enjoy this podcast. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next time.
So I wanted to have this call. I know we chatted on the live like 2 weeks ago or something like that. I wanted to do this call because just as like business coaching, the dog training industry is really hard, mm-hmm. as I'm sure you know, especially starting something new and trying to do it like the right way. There's a lot of people that are in the industry in Knoxville that like went from franchise companies. And then when they went to start their own thing, they basically just stole all of their client list and sent them a bunch of emails and like all this stuff. And so they like exploded really quickly, and they had been in that business for like 10 years. And so they just took like half of their clients. Yeah. When I started, I left off leash and I tried to do things like the really respectful, hey, I want to do my own thing. I don't want you guys to fail. I'm not looking to like do anything crazy. And so I started from like, I had nobody that knew of my name, like at all, like my individual name. And so trying to build that from the ground up is very challenging and exhausting, and feel like I'm running into brick walls a lot. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to chat more on like a specific business idea of like, I have a lot of friends in business. I've talked with them, I've met with them, but there's a difference in like them knowing the niche and knowing the dog training industry. And you're someone who I trust, I respect. You know me, you know the facility, you know the industry intimately. So you can definitely give more specific advice than they can. So like just for instance, then I'll hear what you have to say, but like, a friend of mine was like, oh, you just need people, like 8 weeks is too short. You need people like recurring. So how can you continue to train these dogs for like 2 years? I'm like, well, if I am, I'm bad at my job. Like I shouldn't be training for 2 years. Like these owners should know what they're doing after a few weeks with me. Like this shouldn't be a 2 year process, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. So he's like, well, I don't care if it's good for the dog. It's about money. Like that's the point of business. And it's like, well, I hear you, but that's not ethical in the dog training industry. So, I'm trying to find a way to be honest, ethical, do the best for the dogs that I can and the owners, but also make money. And I, just to be candid, like right now I'm pulling like a couple grand, maybe a month out of the dog training business. And I've been in it for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So like I'm not making much at all, and so I think it's a volume issue getting more dogs in. But so the first question I guess I had was, when you like you've audited businesses, you've gone to people and you've looked at like their training company, and you've just done this a lot, what would be like three things that you would say, top three things, this is what you need to look at? to be successful in this industry?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, I think first is resilience. Like, that's number one. Is
great.
Yeah. You know, because it's not going to do exactly what you want it to. And I think that's the first thing I would say is like resilience is the probably biggest word, like buzzword I can give anybody just in business in general. Like I had a conversation even with a friend that's not in dog training the other day. And she's kind of like, I'm sick of basically doing this, being online and selling stuff and like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's definitely not for everybody, you know, but it's different for you because you're offering like a unique service. But you know, I was telling her, I was like, yeah, but you get 10 years into it and then you can start saying, well, God, maybe, you know, I'm kind of frustrated with this or whatever, but you know, starting your own company is extremely hard. And I still to this day have the same feelings that you feel. It's just in different, you know, different wavelengths, right? Where it's like, I need more. Sometimes we say to ourselves, I deserve more. I'm working hard. And, you know, so resilience I think is number one, because it's, there's been many, many times in my career. And that's what I was saying is like, this year has been such a frustrating year, because in normal years in my career, we have these like this peak up, right? Where we peak up and we peak up and we peak up. Yeah. And whether it's a TV thing or a specific celebrity client or a piece in People magazine or like whatever, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, that feels good. That feels good. Like this year has just been shite. Nothing has been generated. And I say that like, because the years before I was like peaking and peaking and peaking and peaking. And then this year was just like a normal year, you know, like yeah. I worked, I helped a bunch of people, made good content, blah, blah, blah. So my expectations are just unrealistic sometimes. And so the resilience of going, and this is what like you have to keep in the back of your head is like, okay, well, at some point things are going to pick up, but you have to also be, you know, it's a couple of things. You also have to be good at what you do. And then you also have to be, you know, being strategic. So it's not just, oh, if I just stand around for the next 2 years, things are going to pop off. Like, no, resilience is also paired with hard work. Like you have to constantly be like, it's kind of like, you know, going outside when it's dumping snow and you're shoveling. It's like, you just have to keep going. And at some point the snow will stop and you'll catch up. Right. And you'll have the advantage. So resilience I think is just number one, is just understanding that myself and anybody else in business that you look up to, doesn't matter if it's Steve Jobs or, you know, Petco down the road, they are dealing with the same thing you're dealing with. It's just a different thing. Right. So nobody goes through this without, you know, some sort of, well, shit, is this the right decision? This isn't paying off the way I thought it was. Should I quit? Should I find another job? Blah, blah, blah. Like nobody doesn't go. Everyone goes through that. I go through that all the time, every day, every day. And I'm really hard. I will just say, like, honestly, I'm really hard on myself as well. So, and I think just being a business owner, you kind of have to be like, you know, you don't have a boss standing behind you going, hey, this month's numbers are, excuse me, you know, not good. So, and then the other thing is, I would say, I know you asked for three things. The other thing is like, stop looking around is another thing. Like, don't compare yourself to other people because you'll lose your own path. So, you know, I know that you were saying like, oh, well, other people who worked for franchises basically just dumped the franchise, took all their clients and then went off and already, you know, immediately had a, what it looks like an up and running thing. And they could, but you know, if you play the long game, like you're building, you know, your own brand, they right. aren't, they aren't, they stole, you know, they stole clients to then their brand. So it's, it doesn't mean it's not real. It could mean like, oh, well, they immediately got 50 clients that month. That's real. But at the same time, I don't want you to compare yourself to what they're doing because they stole somebody else's clients that has already established a brand.
Yeah.
You're building your own. So those are two different things. So you can't,
right.
So because that's a killer, you know, and listen, I do this all the time to myself, like all the time. People have different paths and they're on different wavelengths. And so don't Because that's like a killer. It's a killer. Because you're sitting there grinding your ass off, and you know you're spinning in the mud, and you're watching some other people like, oh, they got a new client. It's like, yeah, but they really didn't. Like, they stole somebody else's client, and you decided to go more ethical. Like, I'm not gonna steal this franchise's email list and tell them I've done something else, although somebody else did. So those are the two first things off the top of my head would be. No matter how good you are, no matter how good your content is, no matter like what clients you're working with, it doesn't matter if like, you know, Justin Bieber called you tomorrow and was like, yeah, like it doesn't matter. Like, you have to understand, like, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be frustration. There's going to be setbacks. There's going to be like, starting your own company is so hard. And so I don't want you to compare yourself to other people who look like they started their own company when they didn't. They basically took somebody else's clients and said, hey, now I'm over here. And then they went. Like, that's not fair for you, because what'll happen is you'll kind of put your head down going, man, like, either I wish I did that to the franchise I used to work for, or man, I'm working so hard and I know that I have better skills than them. And, you know, I'm doing it the right way. And it's like, at some point they're going to have to pay the piper. Like, at some point that ship's going to run out, you know? And then the third thing I would say is you have to have strategy. Like, you have to think of what do you want and then how do you get it, right? So one of the things that I'm reading this book last night, and it's basically, I forget the name of it, but it's like, you shouldn't believe everything that you think about, or something. You shouldn't believe everything in your head, or something like that. And it was, it was talking about the difference between a thought and thinking, right? And so a thought is something that pops into your head that you can't really control. Like, a thought is something that pops in your head, whether it's like, oh, they got another client. Man, I wish I had another client. I suck. They're better. Whatever. Or, you know, whatever it is. And then thinking takes a ton of energy and focus for you to think about something. You are putting these things together, right? And so that was kind of like a profound thing for me to read. Because I was like, wow, that's huge. Because when thoughts pop into your head, you can either like accept it or reject it, but you can't control if they come or they go. Thinking you can control about. Thinking you can actually chew on it and put energy into it and then manifest other things. So my point by saying that is what I do, and it kind of gave like a cool example, and it's things that I do, so that kind of felt good, is, you know, to give you a very real analogy or an example would be like, for me, I want to, you know, and you can insert this into your life, but it's like, I want to grow my podcast. Okay. So it's like, you know, cause I really like doing it. I like talking to people. It's fun. It's cool conversations, and it helps a lot of people. So it's kind of like what I did 10 years ago, where I was like, I want to start a YouTube channel to put out content to help people. I'm like, now I want to not completely switch gears, but I want to add to the repertoire. So this is good format for you. So you literally write down, okay, I want more clients or whatever it is. And then you go through the steps in which you need to take to get more clients, right? Like, literally every step. And so for me, for the podcasting, was like, okay, I need, you know, maybe for an example, a new videographer that can specifically work on just my podcast and then do all the edits, blah, blah, blah. Like, every single step that you have to take, you have to think about.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So those are the three things I would say. First, to reiterate, would be just understanding that resilience is a part of this, like building your own company. Again, like, holidays were around, I meet up with people from high school, you know, and there's nothing wrong with this, but you know, they're working for the man, if you will. Like, they're doing they're 9-to-5-ing and they're doing great. And they make great money. They go on vacations. They have beautiful homes. They have a beautiful family. But it's interesting, like, as the night kind of gets on, they're like, man, I'd love to go do what you do, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you can, it's just not a safe bet. And you have to have like this deep rooted, resilient grind of like, if I get told no, I have to smile, turn the other cheek, and then go. Right. And so Resilience is number one. And then number two is, again, like, don't look around and compare yourself to other people, because that kills what you're doing. And these are things that I do regularly, but I'm mindful of it. And then the third thing would just be, you know, really understanding the steps you need to take to, because you're not just going to like think about it all day and go, oh man, I wish I could get here. I wish I could have this many clients. Like, you have to put in an actual step. So it's like, how do I get more clients? It's like, okay, how much advertising are we doing? How much social media are we doing? But then it goes into like granular steps as well. So it's not just, okay, if I hired a, so here's what, do you want me to tell you what I do?
Sure.
Is this helpful?
You're great. Yeah, yeah. I'm writing stuff down. So if it looks like I'm typing, that's what I'm doing.
So like for me, for an example, like if I needed more, like, and let's rewind me to 6 years ago when I was operating every day at my facility, getting clients in, like building Upstate Canine, right? To now where it's, I go in once a month, train people from out of the state, and then I leave, right? Because the business is self-operational. So, but let's fast forward 5-6 years ago, or even before that, let's fast forward like 8-9 years ago where it was just me, excuse me, and then I was doing in homes. I didn't have a facility. There were so many times, dude, where I would be like, I have to, like, I can't do this. Like, I can't pay my bills. I can't, like, so you had to think about like, all right, how do I get more clients? And there was like actual steps that I took to get more clients. And that was, okay, you know, if I can afford, I'm just trying to remember, like, this is like a decade ago. I was in my 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good times. But if I could afford advertising, then I would call an advertising company and like go through the thing, be like, hey, listen, if I give you $500 a month, if I give you $500 a month, I need at least 550 back or whatever. Like, I can't invest money into your advertising company or campaigns without an ROI. Like,
return.
I can't do it. Like, cause that's what happens a lot, is so many people deal with that. They give money to an advertising company. Like, we just did this summer. We hired this company. They're for advertising for our merchandise, our equipment, and our courses. Cause 95% of every penny that we make is organic. It's through socials, right? And so there was a time where, you know, my wife and I were like, okay, we're giving them $3,000 a month. They're making us $3,000. So let's say we give them $3,000 a month for ad spend, and then they're making us $3,000, and then they charge us $1,500 to run the ads. It's like, okay. Because they're like, oh, we made $3,000. I'm like, okay, but now we're negative $1,500 because we had to pay you. So these things don't make sense. Like, these are things that... So my point is not ever, like, this is something I learned, you know, this is hundreds of thousands of dollar mistake here, is not every advertising company is the same, just like not every dog training company is the same. So when you go out and you have these meetings, they're going to, you feel good. They can sell you. Like, they actually hire people from other countries to sell you. Like, that's their job. Like, they literally get on a phone and they sell you, and then they transfer you to their team. They're not even part of the actual team. Their only job, they call them setters. The only job that they do is sell Tommy and Tom Davis packages, and they deliver, you know, they overpromise and don't deliver, right? Not all of them, but most of them. So you really have to have these, like, I got, so again, every company wants more clients. And so, you know, that's obviously something that you want too. And we'll talk about ways that you can have more residual income and stuff in a minute, but if you want more clients, you have to have these conversations with people like advertising people. And you just have to be honest to say, hey, here's my budget. Like, and a lot of times, if you find the right company and you have to interview them to just be like, hey, like, I have a service that I know can do better, and I'm struggling with getting more clients. I need help. I need more reach. I need a microphone. I need an amplifier.
Right.
And then you say, but, you know, I can't really afford a lot right now, but I can tell you that if you help me kind of, you know, build this engine, I'll stick with you and, you know, pay you as we can, right? And a lot of companies, especially like local companies, are pretty cool about that usually. And so if you say like, okay, I need, like, right now I'm getting 5 clients a month and I need 10, So my point is like, have these conversations with marketing companies, because that's what marketing companies do. Their job is to get you more stuff.
I've hired one.
Yeah.
I've hired a marketing company, and they're doing okay. They specifically exist on Google, so they run Google ads. Mm-hmm. I pay them $540 a month. They did redo my website completely for free. That's part of the $540 a month. The only problem is, or only difference is, if I ever left them, they take their website back unless I pay them $3,000 for the website.
Yeah.
It's a tricky thing. Yeah, it's $540 a month and then plus ad spend. So I got to spend whatever the ads are. So they keep my Google business profile up and running. If anything changes on the Google side, I can just forward it to them if they send me an email, and then they take care of it. Like, they have access to everything and they just do it. Mm-hmm. They've done a pretty good job at like getting me clients, but it's so cyclical and just challenging. And what we keep coming back to every single time is we're competing for space with the bigger companies, essentially. Okay. Like on, and so like the, how much I'm having to pay for AdWords and stuff like that. Like, I'm having to outbid even what Google is saying that these cost. I'm having to bid over that just to get more.
Are you paying them right now?
Sure. Who?
That marketing company.
Yes.
Okay.
Boost Local is their name. I don't know if that matters, but
doesn't matter. I'm just okay. like when I go into, you know, when I go into, like if I just Google dog trainer Knoxville.
You didn't Google Florida, Jacksonville?
I should have. Like, there, you don't come up.
That's so, what I'm saying, right? So I'm paying this company $540, mm-hmm. and they keep telling me that, like, the reason I'm not coming up is because the other companies, like the franchise companies, are just bidding way more. For those spots. That's what they keep telling me. And I keep telling them, well, then spend more. Like, whatever I've got to do to be up there, let's do it. And they're like, all right, we'll do this. And then we'll talk back. And then they do it, and I'll get like some traffic for a week or two, and then it'll die. And then I meet with them again. They're like, man, they're just spending more than you.
Yeah. No, I know. It's, you got to pay to play.
Yeah. And so I don't know if that's, is that part of it? Like, you just got to pay to play?
Dude, it's such a good question. It is, but it isn't. Like, so it's a good question. It's a great question. So it is, like, definitely 100%. Like, if you're paying the game to say, hey, I need to spend money to get in front of people, absolutely. Like, it's going to go to the highest bidder. That's how CPMs work. That's how all that stuff works on Google. And that's like the benefit of a franchise, right? And that's the hard thing about owning your own business. So,
yeah,
but there's other things you can do. So like, what I would do is, like, if you feel like that's not realistic, then you would say, okay, like, I can't compete. Cause it seems like, yeah, I mean, Knoxville's, it's a pretty big, you know, it's a pretty big, area. But you know, there is competition. There's always competition, no matter like where you go. There's always competition. Doesn't matter where the hell you go. That's inevitable. But personally, like, if I were you, I would say, okay, this isn't really sustainable for me. Like, paying somebody this amount of money, and to be fair, like, a $500 ad spend limit isn't a lot when you're trying to be number one on Google, because Google, like, you know, you have to.
The $500 is just to have them as a company. Okay. Then I'm spending, the ad spend that I'm spending is way more. Currently right now, I mean, what we're telling Google I'm willing to spend is like $2,000 a week. Sorry.
Wow. Yeah.
Now they're not spending it. Google's not spending it because other people are outbidding me.
Yeah.
I guess. So, I mean, I'm only spending probably $1,500 in total. So $500 for the company and probably $1,000 in ad spend.
Yeah.
And I'm getting, you know, 3 to 5 clients from it a month. And if they convert, then, like, yeah, it's profitable, but it's not sustainable as a company,
Yep.
and for especially having a new family, like that's not sustainable, you know? I'm at this catch 22 where it's like, if I tell you, okay, I'll spend $10,000 this month, can you get me more clients? They're like, yeah, for sure. It's like, well, if I spend $10,000 and I don't get those clients, then I can't spend $10,000 next month. So, like, it's just this catch 22 of like, do I need to pay to play the game? Or is there other ways to go just around it? And maybe that's what you're talking about. And I interrupted, sorry. But.
Yeah, I mean, so I talk about this a lot too, especially when I do like my shadow program at the facility where people come in and they ask kind of these questions, and I have such an advantage. I have a it's an advantage. It's not an unfair advantage because I worked hard to, get the authority that I have, but it is an advantage, right? So, for me, when I start, I was actually thinking about this last night. When I started, so I don't, we do advertising for local services, board and train, etc. Because we do live next to New York City, and so we do get a lot of clients from New York City, especially when they want to go upstate. And then, but it's this real, it's part of a big system. Excuse me, it's part of a big system. So all the things have to make sense, right? So a couple things I would say is Google, I mean, Google is kind of like a game where, in my opinion, the number one thing that you should, like, I like you didn't come up at all.
So I just Googled it, and I'm like the second thing that pops up. So I wonder if it's because of like the IP address, and
Yeah,
maybe I'm specifically.
go into incognito. Do you have a MacBook?
Yeah.
Go to your file, go to incognito window, and then do it and see if you come up. Because it also could just be because I'm in New York and it's not like, I don't know, it could be messing with that. But that's what I would do. Go into incognito mode, search dog trainer in Knoxville,
Yeah, I
Tennessee.
don't come up at all.
There you
Yeah.
go. So that's not going to come up for other people either. It's going to come up for you because it knows that you've clicked on that before and you've been interested in it and you've engaged, and that's just how life works now. So my
Yeah, if you
suggestion.
look at sponsored dog training, you have to like click for more pet trainers. But if you click on that, I'm like six.
Okay, so I'll just tell you this. Why don't you, if you're in, are you in Google? Okay, so you're in Google. Are you in incognito still? Google, like, just for shits and giggles, Google dog trainer in Clifton Park, New York, and see, tell me if, we come.
Upstate Canine Academy.
Okay, tell us
Or you
if,
come up twice.
yeah. So,
Doggy daycare and dog training.
here's what I want you to look at. Look at our reviews in the dog training. Okay. N don't actually look at them, but look at the amount of them.
405.
405 reviews. So, we are going to likely outperform everybody, regardless of how much people spend, because we have an elite history of providing good services on in our area. So, my suggestion to you, and this is like a long-term thing as well, like my suggestion to you is to, and then we have like, and again, like because we have two facilities, we have the, so both of my companies pop up, and one of them is just a daycare. But even just the daycare is outperforming reviews than other, you know what I mean? So here's the thing.
What's cool is like your daycare has 34 reviews, which is not, I mean, you're 10 years in business, so I think that they're gonna
Exactly. So
look at that too, but that's not as many reviews as some other people,
no.
but still.
No. But we come up organically, like the other people, like this company, I don't know who it is, but they're paying to get in front of us. But as a consumer, when you come down and you look at like, oh, this company has pretty good reviews, 5 years in business, 4.8, 110 reviews. And then you look at Upstate Canine Academy and it's 4.8, 405 reviews, 7+ years in business, and they have another facility, 10 years in business, 4 point. So my point is if we're talking the Google game, Like, you need to take advantage. But here's the most important thing, okay? So when, think about this, and I do this too as a consumer. Like, if I'm looking at restaurants, or I'm looking at a hotel to book in Switzerland, or whatever the hell it is. Like, if I want to do and a lot of people do this, they do extensive research to make sure that they're the people that they trust with their dog. Like, they do extensive research, okay? So surface level is going to be like, oh, this upstate kid. Like, if you don't know who I am or anything about me and you haven't been referred or whatever, there's layers to this. So I just want to tell you, like, the system that we have to kind of keep the things churning, even in uncertain times. Excuse me, you know, like with the economy and stuff. So if you look at Upstate Canine Academy and you're like, okay, here's sponsored dog place one. And it says sponsored, right? So if you're in the world of the internet whatsoever, you would see sponsored and go, okay, they're paying to be here. They're not really here, right?
Right.
So you would look at the organics, which I'm top two in the organics on my end. I don't know what it says on your end. But so let's say, okay, we click on Upstate Canine Academy. We go to the website and we look at like all the things, right? We look at the website. Oh, wow, this looks nice. It's not just some piece of crap and blah, blah, blah. But so you have to like go through, you have to have the whole kit and caboodle. So when people are comparing you to other people, your website has to also like look nice, which it sounds like yours does. But there's the whole system of, you kind of have to have a full circle thing. Like when people click on your website, yeah, you know, you want it to be,
this is the funnel, right?
Exactly.
The funnel idea.
Yeah. A funnel. So you might go to our website and look at it and be like, oh, okay, cool. And then kind of like go through like about us. And then you'd look at like, oh, this is what it is. You see professional photography. They're not stock photos. You see our big facility. You know, you might see, you know, me there on TV or something. Like, so when you stack me up, like if you were completely blind going into this and you compare my company with other companies visually, and experience, these are things that, you know, and even our website, we're going to redo this coming year. But anyway, the point is, you know, you got to be able to compete there. But outside of that, I think the most powerful thing right now would be your organic and UGC. Wow, user generated content, UGC. So when I first started, this goes back to like having the advantage. Like when I work with people, they ask me this question, like, oh, how do I compete with other people? Blah, blah, blah. How do I deal with clients who don't trust me? Or how do I deal with clients who are asking me about blah, blah, blah? It's like, that's just part of it. Like, not everybody has 350 podcast episodes and, you know, 500 right. YouTube videos in 4K and they may not see you on the Today Show. They may not see you on GMA. Like, and I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just saying, like, I do have an advantage. So when people do come to work with me, if you compare,
they know what they're getting.
Yeah. And so, but I've worked really hard at those things, right? So it's not just like, mm-hmm. It must be nice to do these things. It's like, I've also created those opportunities. So it's because I knew that was going to separate me from most people. And it does, and it is. And so I have an advantage there. But for you, like, one thing that I would be doing for you is really, like, how I got a lot of clients in the beginning was on social media, still. Like, still to this day, that's how I get 90% of my clients, personal clients. So we kind of have this separation where there are some clients that come into the Upstate Canine Academy who have no idea who I am, which is totally fine and normal. That's probably a 30% margin. And then the rest of the clients who come in have been funneled from either a YouTube video or whatever. And they come in and they're excited. It's a whole experience. They're like, and just like with me, like when I go to like, a place where I'm like, oh, this is where they film. This is where they do this. Like, you know, if I go to New York City, I'm looking at film locations or Casey Neistat's like, office or like that gets me excited because I'm familiar with them. I know who they are. So
it's how I was the first time I came to Upstate Canine for a seminar.
Yeah. Cool. That's something I'm so like proud of because you can't pay for that. Like you coming in and immersing yourself in an experience that you've been watching. Like, dude, I hear it all the time. Like some people don't even look at me. They just hear my voice and they snap their head because they're like, I listened to your, you know, it's like,
yeah,
that's so cool to have. And I think personally, I think anybody can do it if you put your mind to it. But the point is the most powerful thing that you can.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Do to create a loyal and continual and sustainable following is just, you know, expose yourself. Like really, so I noticed like with the content you're making right now, you could do better at gaining more clients through, like a big thing for me in the beginning was before and afters. So
yeah,
super easy to do and it's very, very powerful and it's free. Like you don't have to pay anything, right? So
right. For
an example, one of the things that I did way back in the day, you know, again, when Instagram was becoming popular, it wasn't what it is now. TikTok didn't exist. YouTube Shorts didn't exist. Reels didn't exist, blah, blah, blah. Showing my age here. Not that I'm old, but it was a different time. It really was. It's like, it was completely different. Like you know, I was 23-ish, 24-ish. And so like when Instagram became popular and like really started blowing up and then Meta bought it, whatever. So what I did is I took like a dog coming in. I took my phone out. I filmed a dog getting, because you know, as a dog trainer, this dog isn't going to leave like that. Okay. The owner gets dragged in. Okay. That's the best marketing that you can do. And it's free and it's powerful. Right. So that's some of the, and then what I did, so here, let me back up. I film a client coming in with whatever behavior I'm going to help them with. And I know it's going to change, whether it's jumping, pulling, barking, reacting, not coming back, recall. And then what I would do, I'd film it really quick. Okay, yeah, just walk around. They're getting dragged. Perfect. Okay, put my phone away. I work with them for the session. At the end of the session, I pull my phone out and I film them completely different. And sometimes, depending on the client, if they're cheeky and fun and outgoing, I would say, how do you feel? This is amazing. This is incredible.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I can't believe this. Blah, blah, blah. And they don't think or even know that I'm going to be using this as a marketing material. And it's not malicious at all. It's just, it's not like they're going to say, you must come to Tom Davis or Upstate Canaan. That's not what it is. I just knew that they came in a certain way and within an hour, they're going to leave a certain way. And most good skillful dog trainers can do that in a session.
Yeah.
So that's something that you can do. So right now, what I'm noticing on your page a lot is like an opening talking, like you need to establish your ability. And this is my opinion. I think you should be and I need to do better at this too, but I think you need to establish more of your ability and skill sets rather than tell people what they should and shouldn't do. Although the should and shouldn't do should be part of your posting cadence because it's helpful. Like, hey, guys, I noticed that, you know, when you come in with a slip collar and it's hanging down here instead of being fit behind the ears, here's the difference and here's why. Okay, cool. But like what's going to like right now, it's all about attention. Like you have to get attention. And so what's super powerful and has never really failed is if you post a problem that other people are having, you're immediately going to get their attention. So if you post a dog getting pulled, like an owner getting dragged, right? And you get a couple angles of it and you like, you know, whatever. If somebody's scrolling through and they have that issue, and the way that Google and Instagram and Meta work now, it's just kind of creepy. And, you know, some years it's even illegal, is if at any point in time they were talking to their friends, they were talking to their family about their dog pulling, or they even Googled or emailed anything about like fixing that, you're likely going to pop up in their feed. So the easiest way to kind of market yourself, that those are the things I would be doing for you, is because, you know, in my opinion, people aren't going to be, you need to establish more of what you can do before you put out things of like, I'm an expert, you should listen to me. Not that you're not an expert and not that people shouldn't listen to you, but you need to build more of an authority.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, for sure. That's great. Yeah, I was in the spirit of trying to be helpful. It's like, in the spirit of trying to be helpful, I'm saying things as like an authority without people knowing that I can actually get the job done.
Yeah, dude.
So I'm just someone that they don't know. They don't know who I am. So that makes sense.
Yeah, man. So here's what I would do is like, you know, I'm just on your Instagram right now. So open your don't open your Instagram right now. I'm just saying like when you open your Instagram videos, like if you look through your feed without looking at anything, right? You're just scrolling through. Like it just starts with you saying like, you know, for an example, harness tips for strong pullers. It's you with a harness, which is great. Like to me, that makes sense. To you, that makes sense. But the reality is people who are watching don't care because you haven't, you know, proven to yourself of being like, you know,
I need to listen to you because I've seen that you can get the job done. You know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So open your videos with the problem. Like don't say, hey, I'm Tommy from, nope. Open your videos with a big problem that you know people are struggling with. Like again, for an example, a dog is getting dragged, right? They're getting dragged, right? That's a problem a lot of people make. Oh shit, that's my dog, you know? And then, and then you can go in and be like, hey, you have a couple different options, right? But you can go in, the dog's dragging the owner, right? Then you can go in and, excuse me, then the owner's not getting dragged, right? And a simple thing that you can do that I've done that's helpful, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but there's a company called ManyChat, ManyChat. And anybody that you follow, you know, including me, are using this automation. And so essentially what you can do in ManyChat, and it's not that expensive, but it's like your own marketing team. So for you, here's what I would do is I would really get back down to like, okay, I need to get more clients. Okay, so again, here's the question you'd be asking yourself. I need to get more clients. Okay, why would people call you? Why would people give you money? Those are the questions. Like, I need more clients. Okay, in order for you to get more clients, you have to solve people's problems. Okay, so right. then we go to the next step. Okay, I need more money in the door. I need to get more clients. I need to solve more problems. Okay, if people don't know you can help them and solve their problems, they're not going to call you. Right. So if you're like, hey, right. I'm Tommy Blackburn, I'm a dog trainer, and I'm going to show you why harnesses suck. Cool. I don't know who you are, so I don't trust you. Or I don't know who you are. My other trainer said, you know, you have to show them that like, you can do it. That's, and you know, I'm going to be saying this to my kids a lot, but it's kind of like do as they say and not as I do. So like, I'm at a point where I don't do this stuff anymore because I'm just focused on other things. Right. But it's so powerful. Like if I did this, my business would do better at the facility. I'm just like, you know, so this is so powerful. But if I were to get into a pinch where I was like, I need to make as much money as I possibly can right now. And this is what I did. Like back in the day, dude, I was at that point. I've been at your point, you know, a dozen times, you know, where you're like, dude.
Yeah.
I started this business and nothing's coming through. And so the resilience of going like, not woe is me, not, I'm not good enough. You have to like, dude, I used to have a big problem with that, you know, whether it's ego or it's me being immature or me just being young in starting my own company or just not having mentors. Cause I'm like the first person in my family to do something like this. Right. So it's not like my dad was like, oh, you know, here's $1 million, son. Like, no, I came from nothing. Nobody knew anything about starting a business. I didn't know anything. But part of the problem I used to do is I was like, why am I not getting more clients? I can help people. I'm good at what I do, you know, and it's frustrating. So you kind of sit there and you're like, ah, you know, they'll come. And it's like, yeah, but you gotta, you know, you also have to like, you know, so you have to be able to give your clients a reason to call you. Like if you post a video and I'm going to give you obtainable things that you can do this week, post a video of a problem and write down like, okay, I'm going to do two recall videos. Dog come, dog come, dog come. Dog doesn't come back. Splice it. The next video, dog come. Shoop, the dog comes back. Holy shit. How'd you do that? My dog will never come back. Right?
Yeah.
And you could even do that with your own dogs. Like you can edit it in a way where like you could do that with your own dogs. Like you can say a different command that your dog is like, I don't know what that is. And then you can say come or here and the dog comes flying. And then that,
yeah.
I mean, it's, you got to kind of like fake it till you make it, you know? So,
yeah.
So then you do before and after, and then you put it on Instagram, and then you obviously pair it with your Meta. And then you might want to go to your marketing company and go, look.
What does that mean? Pair it with your Meta.
Your Facebook. So as long as you're.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because the
Meta interface is much better to run ads with. You can be very targeted. Like you can target your neighbor with the dog if you wanted to on Meta, you know, like you could target very specific areas. So instead of trying to compete with other people through, I'm going to spend more money to get in front of people. Really, you know, where you're at right now, if you're like, that's not sustainable. Like, so here's another thing I remember when I first started is there were things that older dog, like back at, dude, I'm not going to lie to you. When I started my YouTube channel, it was Larry Crone, Robert Cabral, couple positive reinforcement only trainers. Yeah, Michael Ellis, but he wasn't really on YouTube, right? He kind of sold his own shit. But he wasn't like putting out content on YouTube really. So there really wasn't anybody. Like it was just, so I'm like in my head, I'm like, I just need to be different than those guys. Like I need to create my own thing. I need to like that, you know, and I was like different. Like I was a younger person with blue hair and tattoos and like a completely different thing. And I was probably more relatable to a lot of people who were watching YouTube at the time. Right. And it wasn't that I was better or different or had more experience, because that's not the case. They're all older than me and been doing this since I was in diapers. I just was trying to figure. So in my head, I'm like, how can I be different? Now it's much harder because back then it was harder to break through, but there wasn't as much noise. Now there's, dude, there's so much noise. So
yeah, everyone and their brother is on YouTube about dog training, right,
or
now.
Just everywhere, dude. Everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, like whatever. So then what you do is you put a little money behind those posts. So you post it on your Instagram, really good before and after. I would do like two different posts per, per issue: leash pulling, recall, jumping, whatever. And then I would do like two different ads on them to see what works. And I would just put
like the A and B ads, like the test two things to see how they,
yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah. A lot of A B testing is more predicated off of like, usually it depends on what platform, but it's like thumbnails or titles or descriptions. But yeah, you can be A B testing like different ads to see which performs. Cause you, dude, being on social media, like one word can change. Like one word in your title can change the difference between your video flopping or, you know,
going viral,
right? So that's what I did.
So you do think that sponsoring or boosting posts is a good thing to do?
I do. But the problem is you just really have to know where you're putting your money, because you can waste your money really easily. Because Meta will say, I don't care how you're, like you go into your Meta and you set up, that's what I'm saying is like, you should talk to your marketing company, and they may say like, oh, well, we don't want to put money behind these things. And be like, okay, well, listen, you got, so right now here, think about it. Here's what's happening. People are Googling dog training. They're getting 10 different things. And if you pay more money, you'll be up top, but it doesn't take the other ones away. Like they're still there.
Right.
So there's a good chance
you're
paying, but your competition is still right there. So there's a good chance you have a 50-50 chance they're going to pick you. Because even if you spent $1 million on being number one, you still have four people that organically show up. The Mies that organically show up, no matter how much, they didn't spend anything.
400 reviews.
Yeah, and they didn't spend it. Yeah, they didn't spend anything, right? So first things first, email all your people right now. Hey, happy new year. So happy. You guys have worked with us this year. It'd be super helpful if we can get a review from you guys on Google. Like that's first things first. Like start, you can get links to just send out. Like that's, if you're not doing that, that's super helpful, because obviously as you organically searched me, like I'm not paying any money to be there and I'm there. Like that's invaluable. Like nobody's touching. I am 300 reviews away from everybody, right? But we work with four times as many clients, and we've been in business double the amount of times that anybody else has been around. So there's that. So there is like an advantage. And then there's also just, you know, so I would come up with an idea to say, hey, I'm going to get into ManyChat in a minute, but come up with an idea to say, hey, I'm going to email out like all my past clients. You should have that email list. Thank you guys so much for a great 2025. As we gear up for 2026, it would be amazing for you guys to leave a positive review or if you had a good experience with us, leave a review on our Google page. It would help us out a lot as we're trying to grow our company. Something like that. And then hopefully you get 10 people to do it, and then boom, 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 boom. So you start climbing, right? And you should do that like, and then now in the future, anybody that comes in, you say, hey, you get a free slip leash if you leave us a review or whatever. Like you have it. I don't like doing that. My wife and my team are really great at that. I don't like incentivizing people like that because it feels forced. Like but you have to. You have to keep up. Like you have to.
Yeah.
Like
is it bad or is it cringy to ask people for a 5-star review?
No, To me, it is. What I do.
To me, it is too.
Yeah. No, to me, it is. Like when people are like, hey, if you don't mind, give us a 5-star review. I'm like, well, I mean, you did good, but don't ask me for that. Right. So a lot of times, what I do is I'm fair, but at the same time, it is very valuable. Like their free little one click is huge. So what I used to do when I would be hands on all this, like I'm not hands on any of this anymore because I don't need to be. Right. What I used to do is like, hey, if you had a good experience, we'd love to hear your feedback. Here's our link. Right. But you're only doing this with clients who, you know, that you've really like gone above and beyond, because there are going to be clients that are like, I don't know, because you haven't established that authority yet. So they're still trying to figure out like, man, I should have picked the other company, you know, whatever. Like, that's just the reality. Like if you work with somebody and they're, you know, and that's what I was going to say is like, you know, when I first started, and every client I work with is still the same. It hasn't changed. But I remember when I first started, I was like, I am going to change this person's life when they come in here in an hour. That was my goal. And so word of mouth started picking up. It's just like a good restaurant, dude. Like if I'm in Knoxville, I'm like, hey, where's a good restaurant? You're going to tell me like I had great experiences here, good food here, go here, period. So anybody that opens, so now you have all these little foot soldiers that are walking around. Like if somebody posts right now locally, I need a dog trainer for my aggressive dog. I can almost guarantee you my life that at least 5 people are going to, at some capacity, tag my business because I've helped that many people in the area, right? It has nothing to do with my social media presence and being on TV and doing all that shit. It's like I've actually put boots on the ground and I have helped thousands of people in my area the last 13 years. So there's that. That the established companies, just like the restaurant in New York City that's been there since the 40s, they have a huge advantage. They don't have to advertise shit. They don't even have a freaking sign on the wall, dude. They're that good.
Right.
Right. So that's what I would be doing is put $5 a day behind an ad and just localize it. Like you can pick, where do you want this to go? Who do you want to see this? Like, I want this to be in the greater Knoxville area, dog owners between 23 to 65, whatever. And just spend $5 a day and just see what happens. But ManyChat is an automated program where you can go in and do a bunch of different automations, and it's powerful. So if you've ever seen me or anybody else, go comment this below and I'll send you this. That's an automation. Yeah. So if I put so let's say the next post I'm going to do, I want to sell a course, or I want people to be exposed to my new podcast that just came out.
Right.
So I post a really good clip of an orthopedic chiropractor, surgeon, veterinarian of 60 years that says, and she did this and we're working on this, that harnesses are one of the most dangerous things you can do to your dog because it crushes their organs and their orthopedic structure. This is a chiropractor, like a legit, like you can't argue. Yeah, you could, but like, there's not many dog chiropractors that work on the functionality of a dog's orthopedic movement, right? And she looked me in my face and she said, harnesses are the worst. They cause more damage than any other. She's like, I'd much rather use a prong collar. And I'm like, go on, you know? Yeah. So my point is I know that when I post that clip, people are going to be like, wait. So dog trainers who are balanced are going to go share that like crazy. Dog owners who don't know me, because the video is going to do well. I just know that video is going to do well, are going to be like, oh my God, I use a harness. Why? I want to watch this. So in my ManyChat automation, you'll have to play with it a little bit, but you literally put in what post you want it to work on. And the automation is send a direct message to their inbox when they comment harness. So when I post, hey guys, if you're interested in listening to this whole conversation with Dr. Frick, comment harness below and I'll DM you a link. Boom. So if I put money behind that, then that gives me an opportunity to hook people in on, you know, again, like field of hook right here. It's like orthopedic, chiropractor, veterinarian, surgeon, DVM, specialist, blah, 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 says, you know, that's her tag. Harnesses suck because of these reasons. And then I put $5 a day behind it. And it just goes to people who don't know who I am, don't know my podcast, but they're like, I use a harness. Or, yeah, my harness, my dog pulls through my harness. I want to know more. And then they comment harness below and I immediately send them a link. And then
it's automated.
It's automated.
You don't have to do anything.
I don't have to do anything. Yeah. And you could, you can do it with so many cool things. And so that's like a really good system that you can put into place yourself that, in my opinion, is going to be much more powerful because you're not competing. You're not competing. Somebody's sliding through and you put in the demographics of your target market, dog owners, harnesses, equipment, aggressive dogs, and it pops up on their thing. It's like, and they're like, holy shit, I didn't know that. Why does it crush their heart? Why could it cause heart failure? Why does it, you know, all these things that she's, and I don't have to do anything. I'm just sitting there like, yep, I know, you know? So that's a good way for me to, because it is organic, but I'm putting a little bit of money for exposure because you have to pay to play. So you just have to really audit, like, if you're putting, let's say you're putting $500 in a month, to basically be next to all your competitors and hopefully you stand out versus, and again, my suggestion would be working with a company that actually I can give you some companies that actually, and it's not that much money. It's like $1,500 a month and they manage ads for you on Meta and they're very hyper-focused with it. Like I can give you companies that will do that for you. It's cheaper than what you're doing now. And if you do pulling to not pulling, like, and at the end, you're like, hey, if you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, comment pulling below and I'll send you a $10, $100 off coupon. Boom. There you go. So now you target market all of Knoxville in the surrounding areas of literally anybody that has a pulling dog. And you can say like, I can help you with these results. Just like I helped Toby over here, comment harness below and I'll send you a link to my page and I'll give you $100 off your first session. Boom. So there's you know, depend on if you want to put $5 behind it and you get 10 clients from it, like you're target marketing, but you're also using your own, but you're also, it's more powerful because you're telling, it's not,
you're showing people.
Dude, you're showing people that you can do it. And that's how I started my whole company is I literally put out videos over and over and over and over again on me helping people. And people are like, man, I think he can help me.
Yeah.
And now I have my courses and now I have my one day and then I have my 3 day and I have my board and train and I have my equipment and it's all like, you know, and in the beginning I was very, very, very like, I forgot to charge people every day. Like my wife had to come in and be like, okay, cool that you're not charging people, but we can't pay rent now. You know, I'm not that guy. I just realized I'm like, oh, you know, if people are like, hey, what treats do you use? What treat pouch do you use? What leash do you use? And I had this conversation again because one of my friends started getting into social media and they're like, I hate plugging stuff. And I'm like, I get it. But if you do it in a way that makes sense and it's not just forced, like every company that we feed raw, Impact Crate, Dogtra, these are companies I already use. They were just like, hey, do you want us to give you money for this? I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but same thing with like my leash or my treat pouch or my course. People are like, I need to know more. I want that treat pouch. Yeah. I'm like, I'll just make my own. So you can just get it right here. You know, it wasn't this. So it organically became a business. It wasn't me being like, I want to make a bunch of money. It was me being like, well, instead of giving
people
Joe.
People ask me all the time, so why not?
Yeah. Instead of giving Joe Schmo all this business, and I don't even know, you know, what's going on over there in their company or if they're even good people. So that's what I would do is I would start off with emailing all your clients that you've worked with this year. Thank you so much for a great year. Super happy. If you had a good experience with us at all, it'd be great for you to leave us a review. Or a positive review, however you want to word that. Just put in the ChatGPT and they'll tell you what to do. I would get ManyChat. It's not that expensive. It is a monthly fee. It's not that much. And I would be filming. And here's the kicker. And this is what I did very early on. And now I'm doing it again for a different reason. I would be doing low cost to free training to get content to then promote. So, hey guys, looking for the worst leash puller in Knoxville. I'm going to do a free dog training session if you think that's you. So two things happen. Email me at TommyBlackburn@knoxwhatever.com. Yep. Two things happen. People are immediately popping in your inbox going, I have that dog. So you're casting. This is what I do. Like if my YouTube strategist says, we need a video on leash aggression or leash pulling or resource guarding, I'll basically post on my Instagram, yeah, like, hey, I'm going to do a $400 session, which is, you know, a 1/4 of whatever it costs, whatever.
Right.
Because I need this video. I can't do it for free, but that way I can get the content to then do other things. So that's really powerful too, is like, you know, go on your local Craigslist, go on your Facebook, go on your business Facebook and just say, hey, looking for the most aggressive, looking for the most, the dog that will not come back, like whatever. And then just say, tag your friends. So people start, it kind of washes itself. First of all, it's free. So there you go. People immediately start tagging all their friends with dog issues. They check out your page. And if you give them an email or contact, they're basically applying for this low cost session. And you, this is your opportunity. Don't be like, oh, doesn't really fit what we're looking for. See you later. Like it just is, maybe I'll get you in, you film some content, you do before and afters. Now you have 10 before and afters that you can go out and start boosting. But also you've started we already found somebody for this, but I'll tell you what, I know that you're really struggling. I'd love to help you out. I'll give you, you know, whatever your prices are. I'll give you $200 off your first session. I'd love to help you out if you want to come in. Boom.
Yeah.
So now you start, like, even though you're like, listen, you got to do what you got to do. Like if you need money through the door, be smart and strategic about how you're getting people through the door.
Yeah. So right now I offer a free consultation, and essentially it's my way of like showing people why they should choose me over everybody else. Yeah. And what I've learned is when people call me on the phone, getting them into that consultation, the percentage is not that high. I mean, maybe 40 or 50%.
And you know why?
I would say
it's because they just, when they hear free consult, they're like, I'm going to call this guy and he's going to give me some free shit about my dog.
Well, right. So, but I think the reason why it's lower is because I'm competing with other companies. So they're looking at like 5 different training companies. They call them all. What I'm trying to do is say, hey, if you come in, it's a free consult and I can show you what I can do. And then once they come in the door and I do the consultation, I'm at like 85% conversion.
Yeah.
It's like really high because I know when people come in, it's not the dog training that I'm struggling with. It's not the dog. Yeah. It's not the owner. It's not the personableness. It's not any of that. It's the competition and getting people in. So I think I love what you're saying. Like the whole, I've been thinking this for a long time, honestly, like I'm kind of tired of competing on the Google space because again, I'm just a name on a screen and they don't see what I can do.
Right.
That's why I like socials because I can show, like, it's like my resume can be more out there for mm-hmm. people to see. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I need to establish more of an authority of like, I actually can help you with this versus just telling you. I've got a lot of talking head videos where I'm talking, but right. no action.
Yeah. Do less of that. Really. Like once you get to a point where people are going to be just watching whatever you do and you have an ability and a big reach to just, like you open your phone and you say like harnesses are not great because of this reason, you're going to get tons of people watching. Like that's when you can start doing that.
Yeah. Well, the reason I was doing that, to be totally candid, is because I don't even offer board and trains right now. Mm-hmm. I just do classes. And so it's hard for, and maybe I just need to figure it out. I just didn't do it, but it's hard for me to shoot. And if at any point in time you got to go, I know that we are technically over. So just let me know.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. We got a couple more minutes. I have another one, but we'll wrap it up here in a minute. But keep going.
All right. I have a hard time shooting during the session because I don't know if it should be a tripod. Like I don't have a videographer. I don't know how to get good footage here without it just looking like bland.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, but don't shoot for like a cinematic look. Just shoot for effect. Like you can film the dog coming in and you can just tell anybody in your group, your family group or whatever, like, hey, can you just come? You don't have to do this. I mean, you could do it by yourself, but like dog comes in, you film the dog doing the thing. I'm going to change this.
Yeah.
And at the end, give your phone to somebody and be like, hey, do you mind just, you know, putting this, just film the dog not, or better yet, film the dog doing the thing with the owner. And at the end, film the dog walking, engaged, healing with the owner.
Boom. With the owner. Yeah.
So then you don't even have to say anything. You could just do text on screen. Like, if you want to stop your dog from pulling, comment, pulling below, and I'll send you a link. Like, you don't have to. Yeah, dude. Like, nobody needs to see who you are right now. Like, that's, you're not selling yourself. You're selling your services. And if you can tell people and you can show people that you can get, nobody cares, dude. Like, unless you're like a hot girl, you know, that's walking around in a bikini selling stuff, like, nobody cares what you look like.
Unfortunately.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, it's not like, you know, people are coming in, like, nobody cares what you look like. They just want to know what you can do, you know?
Right.
And unless you get to a point where your name and your face and your branding becomes this international recognizable identity and this IP, like, nobody cares. Like, if you watch something of, like, Michael Ellis, you can probably tell, like, okay, this is what he's going to talk about. This is how long he's going to talk about it. This is what he's going to say. This, you know, like, you know what I mean? So you don't need to do that right now. You just need to, you need to prove a point, and you need to tell people what you can do and show people what you can do. And don't worry about talking heads, you know, just put out what you can do. Like, that's what you want to do. I want to help dog owners. Well, you show you helping. That's how I started my whole career, dude. Go back to my early videos when I put a tripod in the corner and it looked like shit and the audio was crappy. It was me helping a dog over and over and over and over again. And then the phone just started ringing. I saw you help this dog. Excuse me. So that's my opinion, what you should do. Sign up for ManyChat. Start putting a little bit of money behind your ads.
Boosting posts.
Yeah, and just post on Facebook. Like, hey, doing a free dog training class for the most aggressive dog in Knoxville. Doing a free dog training class for the most, the biggest, hardest lead. You're going to get all these people tagging their friends and family. Tag your friends and family if they have it. So then you get exposure. You get good engagement. And then you get the emails coming in of the people you want to help. And you can say, like, hey, does this day work? That's what I do right now. When we need a good YouTube video, I'm helping people, but I'm also... Right. You know, casting for it. Because a lot of times, dude, you've been to my seminars, people who pay the $3,000 or whatever to work with me for the 2 days, you know, they're nothing compared to the person who can't afford $100 with their dogs or really gnarly, you know. And not to say like some of my seminar dogs haven't been that, because they have, but the people who can afford it usually aren't the dogs who need it. And so if you turn around and go, hey, I'm going to give 100 free dog training sessions, or, you know, $100 session or whatever it is, $50, whatever's worth your time. And then I would just be cutting content and stop talking about, like, don't talk about it. Do it. Like, show people what you can do over. And that's what I did, dude. Over and over and over and over and over. For years, for 10 years, I've been putting out professional full length 4K. No dog has been too much. And so if you're out there and you have a dog that leash pulls, is aggressive, won't come back, I have a decade of evidence that you can go and see right now on multiple platforms, audio, video, blah, blah, blah. I can 1,000% help you. No questions asked. There isn't, I wonder if you can help me. Nope, no questions. Zero. I can help you 100%. There's not even, you know what I mean?
Right.
But if I'm talking about it, I'm like, I can help you. I can help you. I can help you. I've helped this person. Like, okay. But, like, that's not as powerful of a dog getting dragged in and then the dog walking peacefully with the owner. Holy shit, dude. How'd you do that? Comment harness below and I'll send you a link. You can sign up for my next class. That's what I would be doing. That's way more powerful than what you're doing right now.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's great. Last thing, and then I know you have to go.
Yes, sir.
Do you think Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all of them, should I focus on Meta, Facebook, Instagram first, then go YouTube? Does it matter? Does it? What are your thoughts?
I think right now, like, you got to get your boat afloat. So,
yeah,
YouTube is more of a branding mechanism. Like, YouTube is building your brand. It's not necessarily it will get you clients at some point, but, like, your localized call me if you have this problem is going to be really, really, really like the strategy should be Meta and Instagram, like, cause you can localize it and target it. Like you put a lot of, I mean, you should just be taking your shorts that you're doing on these socials and then posting them on YouTube for sure. But like, don't put any money or anything behind YouTube. Just focus on your Meta.
Okay. And then posting often, like every day.
Yeah. At least.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Multiple times a day.
Yeah. All right, brother. It's good to talk to you.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate your time.
You're welcome. See you.
All right. We'll talk soon. See you.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.